The Anglo-Saxons, A History of the Beginnings of England. 1600 years ago, Britain left the Roman Empire and swiftly fell into ruin. Grand cities and luxurious villas were deserted and left to crumble, and civil society collapsed into chaos. Into this violent and unstable world came foreign invaders from across the sea, establishing themselves as its new masters. This is the story of the Anglo-Saxons and how they laid the foundations of England. The fall of Roman Britain and the coming of the Saxons. When we think of the end of Roman Britain, we often imagine a dramatic moment, perhaps the last Roman soldier boarding a ship, never to return. The reality was far more complex and gradual. By the early 5th century, the Roman administration in Britain had largely collapsed. The island was beset by raiders from Ireland, Scotland, and across the North Sea. In 410, the Emperor Honorius famously told the Britons to look to their own defenses. This wasn't necessarily an abandonment, but rather an acknowledgement that Rome could no longer protect its far-flung province. The Britons were left to fend for themselves against increasing incursions. It was into this chaotic situation that the first Anglo-Saxons arrived. These Germanic peoples from Northern Europe, Angles, Saxons, Jutes, and others, came first as raiders, then as settlers and conquerors. The traditional story, as told by the 8th century monk Bede, is that they were invited by a British king named Vortigern to help fight the Picts and Scots. Whether true or not, this tale illustrates how some Britons may have seen these warriors as potential allies against other threats. The archaeological evidence shows a gradual influx of Germanic peoples over several generations, rather than a single invasion. They brought with them distinct styles of pottery, jewelry, and burial practices that can be traced in the archaeological record. As they established themselves, particularly in eastern and southern Britain, they began to push out or assimilate the native British population. The rise of Anglo-Saxon kingdoms. As Roman authority faded and Anglo-Saxon settlement increased, Britain fragmented into numerous small kingdoms. By the 6th century, we see the emergence of larger, more powerful realms that would shape the political landscape for centuries to come. In the north, the Kingdom of Northumbria arose from the union of Bernicia and Deira. Its kings, like Edwin and Oswald, became some of the most powerful rulers in Britain. To the south, Mercia grew to dominate the Midlands under kings like Penda and Offa. In the southeast, the Kingdom of Kent flourished, while to the west, Wessex began its rise to prominence. These kingdoms were not static entities. Their borders shifted constantly through warfare and alliance. A successful king might extend his rule over neighboring realms, extracting tribute and claiming the title of Bretwalda, a sort of high king over other Anglo-Saxon rulers. But such overlordship was often temporary, lasting only as long as a particular king's military might. The lives of these early Anglo-Saxon kings were often violent and short. Take the story of Oswald of Northumbria, who returned from exile to claim his throne, only to be killed and dismembered by the pagan king Penda of Mercia after just 8 years of rule. His severed head and arms were displayed on poles, a grim reminder of the brutality of the age. The coming of Christianity. One of the most significant developments in Anglo-Saxon England was the conversion to Christianity. This process began in 597 when Pope Gregory the Great sent a mission led by Augustine to convert the Anglo-Saxons. King Ethelbert of Kent, whose wife was already Christian, allowed Augustine to preach and eventually converted. From this foothold, Christianity spread, though not always smoothly. Some kingdoms, like Northumbria, went back and forth between the old gods and the new faith as different factions gained power. The conversion process was often as much political as spiritual, with kings seeing advantages in aligning themselves with the powerful Roman Church. The impact of Christianity on Anglo-Saxon society was profound. It brought literacy and learning, as monks established monasteries that became centers of scholarship. The church provided a unifying force across the various kingdoms and connected England to the wider Christian world of Europe. But the new faith didn't entirely supplant the old. many pagan practices and beliefs persisted, often blending with Christian traditions. The great epic poem Beowulf, though written down by Christian scribes, is steeped in the heroic ethos of the pagan past. Viking invasions and Alfred the Great. Just as Anglo-Saxon England was beginning to coalesce into something resembling a unified realm, a new threat appeared on the horizon. In 793, Viking raiders struck the monastery of Lindisfarne, heralding the beginning of nearly three centuries of Scandinavian incursions and settlement. The initial raids were devastating. Monasteries, with their concentrations of wealth and lack of defenses, were particularly vulnerable. But soon, the Vikings began to overwinter in England and establish permanent settlements. By the 860s, the great heathen army had conquered much of northern and eastern England, establishing the region known as the Danelaw. It was in this context that Alfred the Great came to power in Wessex. When he ascended the throne in 871, his kingdom was the last Anglo-Saxon realm still standing against the Viking onslaught. Through a combination of military reforms, defensive fortifications, the famous Burhs, and shrewd diplomacy, Alfred managed to stem the tide and eventually defeat the Vikings at the Battle of Edington in 878. But Alfred's greatness lay not just in his military achievements. He embarked on an ambitious program of cultural and educational reform, promoting literacy and learning. He commissioned translations of important works from Latin into Old English and began the compilation of the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, our most important source for this period of history. The birth of England. Alfred's successors built on his achievements, gradually reconquering the Danelaw and extending West Saxon rule over all of England. This process culminated under Alfred's great-grandson, Æthelstan, who in 927 became the first king to rule all of England. But the creation of England was more than just a matter of military conquest. It involved the development of a shared identity and common institutions. The church played a crucial role in this, providing a unifying cultural force. The development of a standardized Old English language, based on the West Saxon dialect, also helped to forge a sense of common identity. The late Anglo-Saxon period saw the emergence of a sophisticated system of government. The kingdom was divided into shires, each administered by an ealdorman and a shireve, sheriff. A system of coinage was established, towns grew, and trade flourished. Yet this golden age was not to last. In the late 10th century, Viking raids resumed with renewed intensity. The Anglo-Saxon kings struggled to respond effectively, often resorting to paying massive bribes, the infamous Danegeld, to buy off the raiders. This strategy proved unsustainable, and in 1013, England was conquered by the Danish king Sweyn Forkbeard. Though English rule was briefly restored under Edward the Confessor, the Anglo-Saxon era was drawing to a close. When Edward died childless in 1066, it set off a succession crisis that would end with the Norman conquest and the beginning of a new chapter in English history. Legacy and reflection. As we look back on the Anglo-Saxon period, it's tempting to see it as a dark age, a time of violence and ignorance between the glories of Rome and the high medieval period. But this view does a disservice to the rich and complex society that emerged in these centuries. The Anglo-Saxons laid the foundations for much of what we think of as quintessentially English. Our language, our system of government, even the basic geography of our towns and villages, all have their roots in this period. The great works of Old English literature, from Beowulf to the poems of the Exeter Book, stand as testaments to the sophistication of Anglo-Saxon culture. Yet we must also acknowledge the violence and upheaval of the age. The coming of the Anglo-Saxons involved the displacement and subjugation of the native British population. The Viking invasions brought death and destruction to many communities. Life for ordinary people was often harsh and short. As we conclude our journey through Anglo-Saxon England, we're left with a picture of a society in constant flux, adapting to new threats, absorbing new influences, yet maintaining a core identity that would shape the England we know today. It's a reminder that nations are not born fully formed, but are forged through centuries of struggle, innovation, and resilience.